And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning on February 21st, 2026, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. We'll be right back right after this song.
That flash of fire, 10 times brighter than the day, and behold that mighty city broken in the dust again. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Babylon is laid to waste, Egypt's buried in her shame, their mighty men are beaten down, the kings have fallen. Dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Terror is on every side, though the leaders are dismayed. Those who put their faith in fire, and fire the face shall be repaid. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. That the sword of Yah is raised, and Babylon, that mighty city, rich in treasure, wide away. It shall cause thy tower to fall and make of thee a power of flame. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Rich in treasure, wide of fame, bow unto a God of gold, thy pride of might shall be thy shame. Praise God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. And only God can lead his people back into the truth again. Thy holy mountain be restored, thy mercy on thy people.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And we've got Tim on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we've got Will on the line. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. And Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Certainly would. Oh, Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity once again to go out into the corners of the world and into the mainstream, Lord, and to shine forth the light and the truth of your word, for the opportunity to once again bring some maybe new thoughts or some old thoughts that need revisited, Lord, to your people, and that they might ask questions, that they might seek the face of the Lord, and that they might just cry out in your name against the evil that goes on in this land. And Lord, there's plenty of evil going on. We pray, Lord, that you would bind it and that you would bundle it. And Lord, that we would live to see your enemies be your footstool. Lord, that you would protect our families and our peoples, not only our fortunes and our homes and our physical things, but Lord, that you would secure and guard our souls and that you'd watch over our children and protect our families, Lord, and just lead us to that promised land that you have promised us, Lord. And we just thank you for the fact that the battle's already won. We ask all these things and pray all these things with rejoicing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thanks, Tim. Well, there is a lot of stuff that's going on in the world, and I don't think we're going to have time to cover all of it today. We're going to do things a little bit different. We're only going to do an hour. We've been doing a two-hour program here on Saturday mornings, and this morning we are just going to do an hour. We've got some stuff that came up, and we've got a lot of things, a lot of things that are going on, and we're going to be doing some updates and some different things. So we've got an hour here, and I don't think we're going to open up the phone lines, but we're here, and you know, we're I'm excited. There's so many things that are happening, and I can see that I really believe that our Heavenly Father's hands are at work. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Amen.
I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For sure.
Sometimes it's hard to understand exactly what is going on, and like we've been talking for the last couple of weeks, it's talking about that discernment, praying for discernment. And I hope you guys out there, I hope you're doing just that. I hope you're praying for discernment, praying for guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit to be in your life, because I really believe that that's one of the most important weapons that we're going to have in the future is discernment, guidance, direction, and being tapped into our God, and encourage people to be doing just that. We've got there's so many things with this AI videos and audio clips and stuff that are taking place. It's without the working of the Holy Spirit and without that discernment that we can get from our Heavenly Father, it's really hard to discern some of this stuff. What is real and what's not real, what's right and what's wrong, and you name it. It's just all over the place. But I know that on our list there's a news story that starts off with U.S. withdrawing all forces from Syria over a year after regime change by proxy war. Let's go with that. What do you guys know about that?
Well, I guess it's been announced the last couple of days. Over the last 12 months, we've thoroughly over the last year or so talked about what happened with the Assad regime in Syria and the overthrow of the Assad regime, and this new fellow that was brought in, who was the ISIS leader that has now been installed by the Israel government. The U.S. government is the new head of the state there in Syria. Well, the United States in the southern part of Syria, kind of on the Iraq-Jordan border, had set up several military bases over the last 12 months. State-of-the-art modern military bases with landing strips and all sorts of things for big jet fighters. This week we gave those up and gave them to the government of Syria as a going away present, and we've withdrawn our troops from there. A parting gift of taxpayer generosity. And so this so-called former ISIS leader now has access to these modern military bases in Syria. I'll ask you guys, y'all see anything wrong with that?
Oh, geez. Is that kind of like when they left all our weapons and helicopters and tanks and weapons and everything back when we when we left? Yeah.
When we left Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Well, Jason, those needed to go to the, how else are they going to go to the black market to make it to the Ukraine?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that they pretty much ruined Syria, didn't they? I mean,
Yes.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me that, I kind of, some part of me can't help but wonder if this isn't just a convenient effect of attrition. We've got all the business going on in Iran and in other things over there right now where that's all ramping up real big. And it's like, we don't have time for you guys. We got to go over here. So our resources have got to be, to me, I'm wondering if it's, maybe a division on too many fronts or too many situations like that. I mean, possibly.
I got something opposite of that, too. Kind of along the same lines, but you know, in that whole region with the U.S. occupying the southern border of Syria, if you kind of look at it on a map, that's kind of a gateway for Iran, which is borders Iraq, and where our bases were on the border of Iraq and Syria. That opens up the door for Iran to have a clear flight path to Israel.
Right.
It actually doesn't make sense to me for us at this time to be leaving those military bases, unless we're trying to allow a calamity to happen. In other words, you're opening up the airspace. Iraq's not going to stop Iran. Jordan's not going to stop Iran. Syria is not going to stop Iran. The only thing that would have really been standing between that is us. So I started thinking about that today of, is this so that we can drum up more cause, reason,
provocation,
right? Just a thought. I mean, and that's not to disagree with you, but I mean, that was kind of my thinking.
No, I mean, I'm just kind of going off the cuff. I mean, I think that's really well thought out and certainly substantial. It does seem the whole thing is very odd when you consider that area up there around, what is it, Hasaka and Deir Ezzer, those provinces, that's where all the oil and gas fields are concentrated. That's where we've kind of concentrated our forces, if you can imagine that, like they're guarding the oil and gas fields. So just to pull out of there seems a little bit kind of like shooting yourself in the foot, or is it? Yeah, exactly.
Right. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys, and I know this isn't in our notes, but whatever happened with Bashar Assad? I heard that he was assassinated, then I heard he was in Russia, and I don't really...
Russia is what I heard.
That's what I heard. That was what my conclusion was, too. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of people that were bad-mouthing that guy, and I looked into him, and I sure didn't think that he was a bad guy. I don't know if that was my two cents worth.
Not at all. Yeah. I think the guy was a despot. I mean, I think that was a ruling family. It's not like he was running for election and getting elected or anything, but in the same sense, I think it was a guy who, at least on the surface, loved his people, and it seemed like they loved him. I don't know. I know there was a lot of Western media saying that he was slaughtering people and all of that, and I could never find one shred of evidence that that was true.
I couldn't either, and I looked, and I tried to find information of that, and from the accounts of some of the people that went over there and reported, they said that they'd go knock on the door and his wife would answer the door and invite him in and sit down and talk with him. I mean, it was not like anything that was portrayed on the mainstream media by any means.
Right.
I don't know. Well, just interesting.
And if he was defending his people in his country and some of those people got hurt, permanently in that regard, like, then, they just kind of twist it up. But, yeah, I think, as I recollect, on December 9th, he was granted first couple of weeks of December there, Russia came out and said they had granted him asylum and he had landed in Russia. That was the last thing I heard about it. So, they weren't letting anybody know any other whereabouts, though, for obvious reasons.
Right.
Probably didn't want him assassinated.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah. Interesting. Just very interesting. Yeah, they've done a work over there and just bringing Syria down to the ground. That's for sure.
And I'll remind people the real key in all of this is it was a secular government. They were not a Muslim government or anything like that. Not to say that Assad wasn't a Muslim. I'm sure he was culturally, but it wasn't a religious like Iran is or anything like that. But now there is a Muslim jihadi ISIS leader who's heading up the country. So if just for everybody to wrap their head around that, if we're supposed to be at war with radical Islam, why would we depose a leader that was secular and replace him with a radical Islamist. Well, we did the same thing in Iran in the 1970s. So it's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, we've watched it happen under a whole bunch of places over there. That situation. And it's really, it's pretty sad. I mean, and I don't understand the whole business with it. When you're looking at this whole Iranian deal and everything, I was reading stuff where the Iranian people were like thinking that maybe we were going to come and free them from that very problem. You know what I mean? They're actually right. Looking at America as the possibility of being liberators from you know, the rule of the Ayatollahs and the Muslim, you know, oppression and everything. And, you know, you just kind of, when you look at the politics of it, it doesn't seem that bears fruit as far as that goes.
You know, and the irony of that, Tim, is, you know, these people that are looking at the United States to come liberate them from the Ayatollah, I wonder if they recognize the fact that it was our CIA who put the Ayatollah in power.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You got to wonder, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. No, the report.
Amazing.
It is. It really is. Well, where do you want to go next, guys? Let's go to Britain. What is happening over in Britain? This is, this one really, I don't know which one of you guys sent me this article, but it was pretty interesting. I just like the headlines. Leftists go Jew hunting in Britain. Who's not going to like a headline like that?
The Jews. I don't.
Tim, what do you know about that?
Just, you know, according to the talking heads, the UK is no longer a safe place for Jews. You know, I mean, so, which kind of strikes me a little bit as like, well, it has been for a long time. I mean, what's changed or what's going on over there? So we're talking about the Lord making changes and doing things. This makes you scratch your head and go, well, maybe that's, Maybe something is changing.
So they've been kicked out of the UK before, or is this going to make a, like a 110 countries that they've been run out of, or is it just a repeat? So would they call that still 109?
If you get kicked out of the same country twice, does that count?
Yeah, I know.
Does that count?
Yeah. that's what I was wondering.
Well, the other thing I thought about was, you know, I thought about Jacob, Israel, and Esau, and Ishmael. And with Ishmael, obviously, you know, being the Muslims or whatever, what do you think is going to happen when you've spent the last 20 years flooding this Anglo country with a bunch of Muslim ragheads?
Right.
They're not going to like the Jews.
No.
And, you know, so now the Jews are surprised that there's 3 or 4 million Muslims in the country, and all of a sudden I don't know. My thought was this on purpose, or are they just realizing, did someone wake up and realize, hey, the Muslims don't like the Jews? Because that's really what
that's kind of what that's kind of the gist of what I got out of the looking into this. I think that the Muslims are just like, and I'm not saying that anybody should, but it's like, yeah, they got tired of them, and it's like, yeah, we don't like the damn Jews.
Well, here is the unintended consequences, right? This is the unintended consequences. So you got this whatever his name is, the London mayor who's the Muslim. London might as well be, you know, whatever, you know, Saudi Arabia, whatever. It is a Muslim city. So you look at that and think they gave the country away to these Islamists, and now there are so many of them that you're starting to see this move towards what they've done in places like, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's not a lot of Jews in Saudi Arabia, and there's not a lot of Jews in Qatar or the UAE because they hate them and they won't allow them there. So we have been so the enemy wants us to be so tolerant that maybe that tolerance is turning around on them, so that these people that we were tolerant towards are now intolerant to the very people who pushed it down our throat.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And, well, go ahead, Tim.
No, you go ahead, Will. No,
please do.
I think that, well, okay, I just wanted to give a little bit of history on that, because we're talking about getting kicked out of the same country twice, and the last time they were kicked out was just a hot minute ago. It was in 1290 out of England. They were kicked out of there by King Edward I. He issued, it was called the Edict of Expulsion, and they were permanently banned from the kingdom, and that expulsion remained into effect. All their goods were forfeit and everything up until, I looked the date up because I couldn't remember when it changed, but 1656. And the guy who let him back in was Oliver Cromwell. So,
geez.
You know, a Jew.
A Jew.
Yeah.
Oliver Cromwell, Jew. Yeah.
So, anyways, that was a fair amount of time, 1290 to 1656. That was, you know, a couple centuries. more than that, more like four centuries. But anyways, you know, the point is, interesting, huh? So it's like, but just a FYI kind of thing, but for those people. And then they did such a forgiveness job that they're the ones who run the Belfast Treaty pretty much. So, you know, on the backside. So, wow, what a mess.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I don't know. And we got to take it with a grain of salt, too, because, I mean, you know, you accidentally step on a bagel and you're anti-Semitic. So we don't really know what's going on over there for them to say that all of a sudden this is happening. But I don't know. I don't want to watch London burn. Obviously, that's a part of our history. But wouldn't it be interesting if all of a sudden the Muslim problem that our Anglo brothers in England has experienced goes away because the Jews got pissed off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting. We'll see what happens. I think it's something that we definitely need to keep an eye on. And then going up north, Canada announces plans to recruit the foreign soldiers for fast-track immigration.
This is a big story.
Yeah, it really is. Go ahead, fire away.
Go for it, Tim. I'll jump on it with you.
Okay, well, we'd kind of talked about this a little bit a while back, and they were making some noises this way, but they've now come out with this express entry program for migrants. And basically, the long and the short of it is, they make a lot of noise about engineers and doctors and everything, but the real category basis for selection announced by Immigration Minister Lena Mettlich, DIAB, on February 18th were skilled military recruits. Highly skilled foreign military applicants or foreign skilled military applicants. And they're looking for key roles there, commissioned officers of the Canadian Armed Forces, specialized members of the Canadian Armed Forces, and operations members. And, you know, of course, Canada's making this big noise that, well, these aren't really soldiers. They're just, but the problem with the organization of the Canadian military is its operation members are quite frequently pressed due to the shorthandedness and the situations into actually being used as combat troops. And so what, you know, if I'm boiling it down, I'm going to say it sounds to me like what we're really doing here is we're just kind of making an army primed up to strike America and put down Canadian uprisings or people, maybe. I mean, you know, you were looking at Alberta talking about secession, that scenario. You know, I mean, there's some other elements there, too. large foreign national military groups are always a good idea to bring in that are non-citizens and have, you know, anything to do with your country. If they don't have your beliefs, your idealisms or anything else, and suddenly they're brought into your country, there's a very real possibility of a complete revolution there that gets out of hand. You may not have a country anymore, you know. Just open the door up to this foreign military occupational force and say, come right on in, because you think you're going to use them to do your dirty work. So, I mean, that's just some of the, that's kind of my view on the whole thing. Like, it's, and of course, the Canadian talking heads are like, well, they'll have skills that the government has deemed essential to the economy and to Canada's security. So, but to me, this sounds like somebody's talking out of both sides of their head, you know?
Yeah.
What else do they have in mind?
I think so as well.
I think it's interesting of, you know, we've mentioned this, on air in previous Saturdays, but, a large number of these Indians, if you want to call them that, that have come into Canada, and I know Derek has mentioned this as well, is they are from the Sikh order of those type of people. And the Sikhs are the warrior class of those people. And as we were sitting here talking, as you were talking, Tim, about this very thing, isn't it interesting that appears to be a disproportionate number of those Sikhs that have gone to Canada? And those are traditionally the warriors in their society over there, and they've found their way to Canada. That's interesting to me with this order that they're talking about now.
Yeah, they're kind of the shock troops of the Indian nation.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Or special forces, whatever you'd like to call them.
So. Very, very much a part of their culture is that. And now those people are just north of us in Canada, and from what we're talking about here, it looks like they very well may be fast-tracked into Canadian citizenship if they're willing to put on the uniform and wear a maple leaf on their shoulder and do who knows what. I know if history has taught us anything when it comes to these uprisings within nations and that sort of thing is, you know, you look at Canada, it's very hard for maybe someone from British Columbia or Newfoundland or Saskatchewan to go over to Alberta and shoot a fellow Canadian. They just got too much in common. They sound the same. They pledge allegiance to the same flag. The culture's the same. The food's the same. The language is the same. But you get somebody who wears a turban on their head that has been brought up from their very beginning to slit the throats of the white devil. It makes a lot of sense that they would want those kind of people to go quell an uprising. So that makes a total sense.
Yeah. Well, one of the quotes in the article I thought that was interesting that I was reading was it said not all mass immigration is about rigging elections in favor of socialists. It's sometimes about subjugation using people who have no loyalty to the native population, which is exactly what you're saying. I mean, it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah. So,
you know, I know we're talking about Canada, Jason, but I came across a quote from President Teddy Roosevelt from 1907 talking about immigration to the United States. Do you mind if I read that?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
So this was from President Roosevelt in 1907, and this is what he said about immigration into the United States. He said, quote, in the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American, he must assimilate himself to us. But this is predicated upon the person becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room but for one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room but for one sole loyalty, and that is the loyalty to our American people. And I came across that. I just wanted to share that with you guys because it goes right along with what we were saying about the Canadians there.
Yeah, and about what's going on here too. And they boy they sure perverted that, didn't they?
Yeah. Sure, real quick, like, yeah.
Well, and when you think about it, the Mexican border seems to me has always seemed a lot more rigid than the Canadian border. The Canadian border has always been kind of, I don't know, I'd call it, I guess the word would be elastic, you know. But it's like, yeah, they're Canadians, you know. I mean, you know, they'll go back or whatever. It's not that big a deal because really the values, a lot of the, you know, in bygone years, a lot of the values were the same, hard work, ethnicity similar, you know, Christian upbringing, or, you know, that all came from similar origins in Europe and different things like that. So the fact that this is going on up there would lend to me the fact that, you know, if something goes south up there, say, like we were just talking about with a takeover or whatever, it's not so hard to believe that that could spread south, is it? I mean, you know, so, which kind of leaves you a little concerned. You've got down on our southern border, we've got all the cartels and military build up down there, and now it looks like they're trying to do that up north. You know, it's kind of like, I don't like being the meat in the sandwich, thank you very much.
No kidding. And let's not forget that President Trump has said that if we work out a deal with Alberta, that, you know, they would get the protection of the American military and all of that sort of stuff. So, I mean, keep that in mind, too. You know, that if that kind of scenario happens, we may get dragged into a real jackpot up there defending people that don't want to be Canadians anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, I seen some guys driving around, some Mexicans, a couple days ago, and they had this big, huge Mexican flag. They had a flagpole in the back of the pickup truck. And, you know, it just, to me, like that statement that you read from Teddy Roosevelt, we got room for one flag. You want to fly your Mexican flag? Go back to Mexico. You love Mexico much, then go back south of the border. Get the hell out of here. I mean, that's my attitude. It is, to me, that is an act of war. You want to bring that flag up here and you want to fly that flag? American flag needs to be flown higher than that flag. And you guys can just get. And I seen that in, you know, all these protests, they're putting up these Mexican flags, they're waving them, and they're so proud of it, and they love Mexico. You love Mexico so much, then go back. Just get out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my that's my two cents. I mean, you love Mexico so much, and it's the greatest place on earth, then why are you here?
Yeah. Well, and just like striking a flag or striking the colors of a flag is an act of surrender, raising a flag in a foreign land or on a consulate is an act of aggression or an act of
it's an attack. You know, yeah. I mean, how do you think it'd go over if we took a big American flag and went down to Mexico, did Mexico City, and started running around with that American flag flying? It wouldn't go over very good. It wouldn't be tolerated.
No. Agreed. Unhappy. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I want to say this. You know, going back over 30 years ago, I remember one of Pastor Peter's sermons where he was talking about the Aztlan movement from the pulpit and these different organizations out there like La Raza and some of these Mexican Latino groups who say that we're living in Aztlan, right? That this is their land.
Right.
This is all stolen land. And isn't it funny that narrative is coming back around again now? That these people out there, and that's what they're going to say, Jason. That's what these leftist communist Latinos say
right.
is they're flying these flags because this is their land. This is, you know, this was stolen land. And I, you know, I haven't had the opportunity yet, but I'm waiting. I'm praying that God gives me the opportunity to have a conversation with one of these people so that we can talk about what stolen land means. And you guys know, because you're educated, we're not morons, that first off, there was a large majority of this land that wasn't stolen. It was bought and paid for with good hard gold.
Exactly.
That we bought from France, you know, Louisiana, all the way up through Arkansas. Yeah, I mean, the Louisiana Purchase,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. So, I mean, but it wasn't just the Louisiana Purchase. You know, this supposed stolen land from the Indians and that sort of thing. Well, folks, I got news for you. Look it up. You know, history is not just a channel on your cable network. You can actually find this out for yourself. That we paid many Indian, the federal government, the United States government, paid good, hard money for lots and lots and lots of the Indian territory that we you know, they were greedy then.
We purchased it from them, and then we ended up giving it back to them later on when they started complaining about it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And here's the other thing. What we didn't purchase with currency or gold, we purchased with sweat and blood. That, I mean, we had to fight our way into these territories. And did we steal this land from Great Britain when we fought a bloody war to declare our independence? Did we steal the land back again in 1812 when we fought a bloody war to keep it, to keep the British at bay? And the answer is no. We fought a bloody war because this is our land. We were the victors. God put us here for a reason. So this whole nonsense about stolen land, in my opinion, that is just sour grapes from a bunch of losers. You're flying the flag of a loser country. That's what the Mexican flag looks like to me, is your people couldn't keep what you had because you're losers. And what you're trying to do now is use the very liberty and protections that our people brought to this land to be able to claim the land again and use the system against us. And it's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because this land was appointed by God Almighty for his people. So you can say this is stolen land if you want. And I say, you know what? You can cry all the way to you know where, because this land was never stolen. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ and given to his people.
Amen.
There you go, Jason.
100%. 100%.
Well, and by every metric that those people use, they were beat by their own rule book as well. Whether if it was purchased, then it was a done deal. If they were beat through battle, that was their way too. They took it. They took it from someone else through battle or whatever. And they're just sore losers. They're not just losers. They're just sore losers. You know, it's like, get over it. Move on.
That's right. And the fact of the matter is they never could buy. They could never get together as these different tribes and people, because they warred so much between themselves that they killed each other off left and right. And, you know, you want to talk about stolen land and battles. They were killing each other off and stealing land from each other before we got here.
Yep.
Oh yeah. We just used their own rules, against them, and they lost. Yeah.
They lost.
That's right. They lost. It's real simple.
That's right. That's right.
No sense. And when we look at it that way, there's no, they're just using our liberty as a cloak for their maliciousness. And the Bible talks about that too. So,
yes, sir. For sure. Jason, how much time do we have?
Oh, we got about, 15, 20 minutes left.
Okay, good. I just want to throw this out here because we don't talk about stuff like this, and this isn't in the notes or anything like that, but I just want to throw it out and get y'all's reaction. It's kind of a different Saturday for us anyways. Did you guys catch where Barack Obama – I hate to cuss like that on air, but did y'all see where Barack Obama flipped up in an interview and talked about the aliens?
Yes, I did.
Tim, did you see that?
I heard a little bit about it. Yeah, go ahead.
What are y'all's thoughts on that? For people that, if you haven't heard the story, I can't remember what the, it was a podcast that Barack Obama was on, and he was asked, and he said, well, aliens are real. They're not at Area 51, but they're real. That's the president of the United States, right? That's kind of a big whoops if that's not what he intended. But I mean, what do y'all think of that?
Well,
you think that's just,
I don't know. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that Trump came out. Did you see Trump's rebuttal to it?
I did.
He said that, Jason. You know, he said that, Obama shared classified information that he wasn't supposed to share. And it's like, okay, I'm listening. I'm all ears right now. I don't know. It's what got me looking into it. And I know this is really off subject, but it was that, it was down in Texas and it was that airport shutdown. And, supposedly it was, I think the official report, I don't know if it was an official report or not, but it was some drones that came over there. But, I kept hearing aliens and sure enough, I seen some weapons, and read about those that, I sure never read about, but laser shooting, there was lasers that shot something out of the sky. I'm pretty confident of that. I'm not sure what they shot out of the sky, but there was definitely some weapons that I didn't know that we had. I had no idea that they were down there, and that sure made me think and scratch my head. And then with what Obama was coming out and then, Trump's rebuttal, it's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Here's another little tidbit on that. On the 18th, that was yesterday, U.S. southern border down there along, the EPA came out with a toxic air warning for millions to lock their windows and shelter indoors. Trump declared it a massive ecological disaster, and they're calling the pollutants currently in the air over 150-mile swath of land hazardous to human health. This toxic cloud is centered over, guess what, El Paso. I don't know whether that is related or not, but it's sure inquiring minds want to know.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And they're talking about, I don't know what they call that. It's a PM10 warning, but air quality tracking website IQ Air warns that the area is full of PM10, a type of air pollution made up of tiny solid particles or liquid droplets floating in the air that are less than 10 micrometers in diameter, which is thinner than a human hair. These inhalable particles can get deep into your lungs when you breathe in and are typically created by dust from construction, pollen, mold, smoke, soot, industrial emissions, and windborne dirt. So,
wow.
But they've never had anything like that down there before, but we have all these other events, and now we have that. So, I don't know how it all ties together, but I'm thinking it does. That's my opinion.
There's nothing down there. I'm trying to think of what the hazardous material is. I guess there's Fort Bliss and all of that down there, but I'm just thinking about the desert down there and thinking, there's not a huge chemical plant or something or a nuclear reactor or anything like that. So that is interesting, Tim. You see what we did there? We just did the firework attack. We lit the fuse and we stepped away and we just all jumped on there to see what was going to happen I don't know. That's cool. I like that. I would love to see Barack Obama arrested, but wouldn't it be interesting if it was for this? For leaking classified information about aliens.
It would.
I think it'd be great to see him arrested for just any old reason.
Whatever.
This one works.
I agree.
Great, though. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
So, yeah.
Oh,
well, it's amazing how you can find some of these things, and if you use a little bit of just logical conclusion gathering, you start going, I wonder if this ties in, and maybe that ties in, and these are all
these are all events in the same area, but they're all coming at it from different ways. So quite oftentimes the truth is out there. It's just been so broken up that it's hard to, you know, get the whole picture unless you really work at it a little bit. But
there you go.
Yeah. So kind of got to do some jigsaw puzzles and put the pieces in, see if they fit. Anyways, I thought that was, yeah, I did think that was an interesting thing with that. So, and what, the wind's never blown in El Paso before? I mean, you know, so
come on
why now. Yeah. So.
I haven't been to El Paso in years, but boy, it was, yeah, it was rough when I was there. I don't know, last 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's about, it's been at least that long since I've been there, so maybe a little longer. Yeah, but, yeah, it's like, okay. So, well, did you see where ICE arrested an illegal alien who was working as a Minnesota corrections officer?
Yeah, why, he was AWOL from the National Guard. I mean, it's you can't make this stuff up.
No.
What is this, like number six one of these that we talked about? It just seems like every week there's another one.
Yeah,
it's a New Orleans police officer or a police officer in Connecticut or Maine or wherever. Now it's this.
And just for anybody's information, we don't have to look very hard to find one every week either.
No.
Oh, there's one. Yeah. So, yeah, this guy was a Liberian national. So.
Which, and it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. It's like, you get into that kind of position, and it's like, well, number one, I tell you what, these guys got stones to, you know, go in and to even apply for a job like that, because they know full well that, you know, what their citizen status is or anything like that. But, you know, all the gall, it's like, for them to go in and actually try to get a job like that and just to walk in there, it's like, I mean... Honestly, you got to give them a little bit of credit for that, just because they're ballsy. But, man, you sure would think that somebody would have figured it out.
Yeah. It boggles my mind.
One of the other things that occurred to me when I was reading this is it should be a matter or a point of concern for us, because it goes along with what you guys are saying, is the standpoint of they've got nothing to lose. I mean, they're going out there. That's like a going for broke type thing. You know, it's like, I have no legal status to be here. I joined the National Guard. I'm going to lie to them. I'm going to do everything else. And the other thing is if this doesn't prove to you when you read through these kinds of stories that all their background checks and all that kind of stuff really don't have much depth to them.
Well, that's what you wonder. So is this an inside job? Does somebody have, do they have a contact on the inside that says, you know, hey, it doesn't matter. We don't care about your legal status. It doesn't matter. We're going to get you a job anywhere. Is there, you know, is this a group? Is this a network that is working together? Is this, you know, like an illegal gang that, you know, is plotting together to get people and put people in positions like this? I mean, you really got to wonder. It's like, how deep does this go? And a lot of the stuff that's being exposed up there in Minnesota is just really, making me wonder, how deep does this go? I mean, you've got governors and senators and, attorneys and all kinds of stuff that from what I'm seeing, they've got a big, big ring of organized crime there in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself the question. You know, if it's at Minneapolis, St. Paul, is it in Chicago? We just saw the guy a couple of weeks ago in New Orleans that was a foreign national, and you know he was getting ready to graduate the police academy, and it's up in Maine. You just stop and think about these. I don't know what the answer to your question, Jason, whether there's a cartel, so to speak, that's running this, but it sure seems to keep happening, doesn't it?
It does. And it just, you know, it's like, so is this by, which I mean, I can see it actually happening both ways. I can see it happening as, you know, this guy's told, you know, you go get a job here and this is your job and don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You're going to get the job. And I can also see it happening where it's just like this guy is walks in there and just says, I'm going to see what happens and applies for the job and gets it. And nobody bats an eye on it. So I don't know. Go ahead.
Let me remind our listeners and maybe you guys too. It was I think it was in Aurora, right, Colorado, where it was the huge illegal nightclub that was going on, being ran by the Venezuelans, the Trinidad Aragua. Do you remember who the security guards were?
Yeah, military.
They were soldiers. Yep.
Soldiers.
Yeah, they were
that
soldiers from
Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. There you go. Not Aurora. Colorado Springs. It turns out if you did a little digging on that, these were Hispanic soldiers that were participating in this. So, I think it's entirely possible.
I think it's
entirely possible. We know going back 30 years that different criminal street gangs in the United States had infiltrated the military. So, you get people in positions of recruiters and doing the entry into the military. Sure, I could see them looking the other way.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of collusion going on. I don't know when this guy, his name was Brown. I don't know just exactly what he was arrested on, but January 15th, as I understood it. But, he came over here in 2014. On a student visa, and it was terminated in 2015 because he didn't enroll. And then he joined the Pennsylvania Army National Guard in 2014, went AWOL in 2015, was discharged under other than honorable conditions in 2022. But in 2020, he applied for a green card. That would have been before his discharge under the Liberian Refugee Immigration Fairness Program, and he was denied due to misrepresentation. In 2024, he applied to naturalize based on prior military service, what that you went AWOL from. During that review, they uncovered alleged marriage fraud and additional false claims to U.S. citizenship. And then that's when they learned he was also working. So he just became more bold and more brazen as he went along, And they finally did get it nailed down, but basically it took from 2014 to 2026 or 2025, I guess, but, whatever. I mean, 2026 because January 15th. So, you're talking 12 years to chase this guy out of it. And being the corrections officer, that's not just some, there's background screenings and eligibility verifications and all kinds of stuff that have to go on to hold that position. So, and they go on to say in the article that it's not an isolated episode, So we see these guys all over the place. And there's got to be some collusion going on there somewhere. So, somebody's stamping something or doing something. Can't just
amazing.
Yeah. So,
how many, I just thought of this, there's a corrections officer, county corrections officer, state corrections officer, whatever. They're getting issued some sort of occupational license from the state. In this case, probably Minnesota. There's some sort of certification or license or something that they've had the requisite training saying that they can do this. So I, as you were talking, Tim, there and doing a great job of explaining that, I just thought, how many of these people have walked into a gun store and been able to successfully buy a gun?
Good point.
Because think about the background checks. If you're getting fingerprinted, you're getting these occupational licenses to get into police academies, to become cops in Maine and New Orleans, Louisiana, Minnesota, and all these other places guess what, folks? They got fingerprinted there too, and they were ran through the FBI and the whole thing. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, So they pick up the phone to call Martinsburg, West Virginia, or they use the kiosk, you know, to process your 4473. I mean, we already know they're liars because they're lying about their citizenship. You know, they fill out the form. They're just going to check, yeah, they're a citizen. I guess what I'm thinking is, in this, I mean, if the system is not working on these background checks for these cops and these corrections officers and the National Guard, for goodness sakes, I mean, you stop and think about all that. Are we really to believe that, like, the background checks for guns is
did they really
being
work?
Used yeah. properly? That they really work?
I don't think they do. I think it's broken. I think it has been for a long time. I mean, I've seen people that it's, I don't know.
It works for us. It works for the people that are going to tell the truth on the form.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you just lie on the form, which I'm not suggesting anybody does, but if you lie on the form, they're kicking out what you put in. Does that make sense? They're going to.
If you fill out the form properly, it doesn't matter if you're telling the truth or not. You can be lying on the form,
right?
And if you put the right answers down, you're gonna get what you want.
That's right.
That's all they're looking for.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway. It would certainly seem to be the case, and it's just like a lot of security measures. We just had this conversation about, believe it or not, an automobile the other day. The fact that the more secure they make these automobiles, or the more anti-theft devices they put on them, the only person that leaves out in the cold or gives fits to is the owner. You know, flips his cell phone out, does da 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 on an app that he's developed or bought, and he gets in your car and drives away. You know, I mean, in the meantime, the darn thing locks you out and you're left outside, and you got to call a locksmith and wait 2 hours and pay him $150 to unlock your car or something, you know.
Right.
So, there's a lot of, and it seems like it's kind of that way unilaterally. I mean, even from that to this. Like, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, we are just about out of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies.
I know, it does. And I wanted to be sure and tell people that I've been working on a message for church tomorrow, and it's an old one by Pastor Peters. And hopefully I can get it done today and have it ready for tomorrow. But its title is Discrimination, Godly or Ungodly. And I really felt like I ran across this one and started working on it, and been working on it for the last couple of days. And I think it applies to what we're talking about, what we've talked about in this program, what we can see going on in the world. And I think it fits. And I hope that I hope you join us for church tomorrow for that message. I think it'll be a good one. And man, thanks for being here.
Thanks for
you bet.
Thank you.
Stay on the line. I'll be right back, guys. Okay. Thanks, Remnant. God bless.
There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be. He can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who love their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land. From bad law, we will keep our people free. Through the jury, we'll guard our liberty. They called the king into accounting for his disregard of law. Told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan. Maintain his people's liberty.
size of their God given right, granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God.
Jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for a people.